coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. Well, that's our mandate too. But let me ask you, how do we make disciples if the people we're reaching out to have no Bibles?
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Welcome to today's broadcast. Compassion Radio is passionately committed to providing Bibles for persecuted Christians all around the world. Our focus this month has been on China, where the greatest harvest in the history of Christianity is taking place, and it's going on right now. You have an opportunity to be part of it, and we'll tell you how later in today's broadcast. Over the years, the stories we've shared about the persecuted church in China have moved our listeners more than anything else we've ever done. Today, you'll hear a montage of these very special stories. Here's Norm to get us started.
Now, the program begins with a bang as I ask Dr. Dennis Mulder, our dear friend and president of the Bible League, if there's one experience of giving a Bible in China that stands out in his memory.
Well, there really is. And in fact, it happens to be one of the very first Chinese Christians I met on one of my very first trips into China. We were worshiping together in a church in Shanghai, and I noticed that her hands were, frankly, mutilated. They looked like club hands. But she had managed to maneuver the bulletin and so forth so that she could read the songs and the scriptures that were printed in the bulletins. At that time, they had virtually no books of any kind. As we left church that morning, I asked her if she had a Bible, and she told me that she did not, and then I invited her to come with me to the hotel. I had two left. I was leaving the next morning, and I told her that, and I said, I'll give them to you, and you can share the extra one with a friend. Now, very candidly, if that were the end of the story, and you could have simply seen her face, the incredible smile, the look of unbelief on her face, that would have been good enough. But on the way to the hotel, I asked her about her hands, because it would have been impolite for me to ignore that in Chinese culture. So I asked her about her hands. Was she born with hands like that? And she said no. She said, during the Cultural Revolution, the Red Guards came to my house, as they did to the homes of virtually every Christian. We were known as revisionists, and there was no more dirty word than revisionist in the communist vocabulary. So they came to my house, she said, and they were legally allowed to take everything from me, furniture, clothing, except what I had on my back. But she said, of course, they were looking primarily for the scriptures, the hymn books, whatever had to do with faith. And she said by this time they'd searched many houses. They knew all of our hiding places. And she said they found my Bible underneath the ashes from the cook stove. And as they pulled it out, and you have to kind of envision this, as they pulled it out from under the ashes, they turned in front of me to leave. But she said, I grabbed that Bible back from the Red Guard who held it. And she said, of course, there were four of them in my home. They could have simply pulled my hands apart and taken the Bible. But that's not the way of the Red Guards. And so she said they mocked me, they ridiculed me, they laughed at me. And she said, they said, give up that book full of myths. And she said, I replied, no, I cannot, because in it is all I have to know about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So she said, I hung on to it. She said that made them very angry. They took me outside, put me on a pedestal. It's very easy to gather a huge crowd. And she said they gathered about 15,000 people. And on that pedestal, they first stripped me naked. She said, I stood with my hands over my breast, the Bible clutched still in my hands. And then for 3 hours, that crowd laughed and mocked and threw dirt and spit at me, etc. She said, I thought that I would fall over. I couldn't stand any longer. And she said, the crowd thought that I was embarrassed. My head was bowed. But she said, I was praying. And then they stopped after 3 hours. And again, for all the crowd to hear, one of the Red Guards said, give up that book full of myths. And she said, once again, as loud as I could muster at that point, I said, no, because in it is all I know of Jesus Christ. She said, that made me very angry, or the Red Guards very angry. And they took me off the pedestal, laid me face down in the street with my hands outstretched over my head, the Bible still clutched in my hands. And while one of the Red Guards put his foot in the back of my head, the other three beat my hands to mush with lead pipes until the Bible slipped in the dirt. When I gave her those Bibles, you know, she never said thank you. She couldn't speak. She simply took those two Bibles, shed some tears, and left the room. That's probably the story that has impacted my life, maybe more than any other, although as I think about it, I've met many, many similar kinds of people who suffer for their faith in the People's Republic.
Wow, what a story. In fact, we heard stories like that over and over again from the people themselves. But you know, we were also interested to know what Denny finds so compelling about the Christians in China. What is it about them that seems to him to be so extraordinary?
There's a sense in which I envy them. Not that I want to be persecuted. I mean, that's a terrible prayer to pray for yourself or for your children, I suppose. But there is a sense in which I envy them because they know God's presence and God's blessing in a way that's very difficult for us to know because we simply have not had those experiences. Their faith is truly, in addition to being one of head knowledge and heart knowledge, and it's an experiential faith. Their relationship with the Lord is a living kind of faith that, frankly, goes beyond my understanding because of their experiences. They're bold. They're courageous. I'm often put to shame, if you will, as I observe them, as I listen to them in the ways in which they so easily and openly and frequently and regularly share their own faith. Let me just say that one of our Bible League staff persons, was not myself, but one of our staff, was recently in China, and he asked this question. If getting scriptures into China is causing persecution, and in fact, in some cases, it is the fact that they have scriptures from the outside that causes persecution, this staff person said, should we stop, therefore, sending you Bibles so that you won't be persecuted? Well, the staff person reports that at just hearing this question, the Chinese person, first of all, almost laughed out loud. The question was so ridiculous. But this is what he said. Of course, do not stop sending Bibles. We love God's Word, and we don't even care about the persecution. So long as we have a Bible and know God's Word, we choose this because this is God's will for us. The persecution is nothing compared to having God's Word. We accept suffering as our way of life. But how can we accept life without the Word of God? Sending Bibles is probably the most effective way to build God's kingdom because when these Christians in China get God's Word, when they get the Bibles, well, frankly, it's like giving swords to soldiers. They'll use those scriptures, and if I may be so bold, God will bless them, and with those swords, they will win the war. So I trust that you will indeed respond.
Well, that kind of devotion to Jesus Christ and that amazing commitment to the truth and to the power of Scripture really challenges me, as I'm sure it does you. Now, we had an absolutely terrific contact in Hong Kong who was actually our guide on this adventure, and I want you to hear what he has to say about the impact that Bibles make on the church in China. By the way, we're going to call him Mr. Baker, but that isn't his real name, and you'll notice that we've altered his voice in order to protect his identity. Mr. Baker, what about the impact of Bibles in China?
Several years ago, in an internal document, the government acknowledged 63 million believers in China. And the reason for this document, I mean, the focus of this document was to say the situation has become dangerous with the number of Christians that are in our country. There are more Christians than there are Communist Party members today in China. And so the government is concerned. They're worried. Now, especially as a result of what's taken place in Eastern Europe and in Russia with the fall of communism, the Chinese government is very, very scared that a similar thing will happen in their country. There was a letter in there that they published, and it said, we have a church here, and recently our entire village has come to Christ. And as a result, we have several hundred new believers that are attending our church. But we have a problem, and that is we only have one Bible. Can you please help us to get two more Bibles? They couldn't even imagine everyone in their church having a Bible. You know, they had one Bible, and they had, because they had several hundred new believers, they were asking for two more Bibles. We've received letters that basically say, thanks for the Bibles that you sent. Please send us more. There are many people coming to Christ, but some of this new fruit has died because they haven't had scriptures or haven't had people to teach them. While there's a harvest, there's the death of many new believers because they don't have the support material, the foundational material. The other thing that's a real problem in China today is false teaching and heresy. Because they don't have scriptures, believers don't have the Bible that they can turn to sort out, to screen some of the teachings. I mean, one of the teachings that's going around China today, and with a real following, is that Christ has come again, and this time Christ is a woman. There's another group that recently, in the last several years, has distributed millions of tracts, leaflets, basically saying that there is a living Christ, and this living Christ is, you know, and they name this person that lives in America as this new living Christ, and you have to believe in this living Christ if you want to go on to heaven. I mean, so those are the kind of teachings that are rampant today in China, and it's the best way to refute that is to not speak against it, but it's to provide scriptures.
Well, I think it's clear from what Mr. Baker said just how important it is to get Bibles into China.
So Chinese Christians ask for a Bible, maybe two. Friends, we can do that with our pocket change. Imagine what a Bible in the hands of every Christian believer in China could do. We'll share more about that later in today's broadcast.
You know, if you've been listening to Compassion Radio over the past few years, you understand that there's nothing quite like it in all of Christian radio. You've heard programming that helps you understand what is really going on around the world, not from the old "if it bleeds, it leads" philosophy of conventional news reporting, but from a perspective that believes that God is at work in His world. And because of that, there's reason for hope and a motivation to work for His kingdom purposes. Now think about it. You've heard programs that have originated in places like Afghanistan, Bangladesh, China, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Nepal, North Korea, South Africa, Sudan, including Darfur, Syria, and Thailand, to name just a few critical centers of life-impacting events. And you've been given opportunities to invest in world-changing projects in those difficult places to share the compassion of Christ with the neediest people on earth. This is radio that makes a difference in this world. You've heard interviews with top scholars, provocative authors, skilled diplomats, adventurous missionaries, effective pastors, courageous victims of religious persecution. All of these and others committed to encouraging you to grow in faith and service in the cause of Christ.
This month's world-changing project is our Operation God's Word Bibles for China campaign. Your gift can put a copy of God's Word into the hands of a new Christian who really, truly wants it. Each Bible is only $6. Just give us a call today to be part of it. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also give 24/7 through our website, CompassionRadio.com. And don't forget to join our community at Facebook.com/CompassionRadio. And now, back to Montage of China.
Now, the Chinese evangelists who are so important in spreading the gospel in China are not like the professional evangelists that we know here in North America. In China, the evangelists are lay people, and they work to support themselves in between their evangelistic efforts. I want you to hear from two such evangelists. We'll call them Yang and Chen. And they're farmers, but they're also evangelists. They were interviewed, by the way, in a clandestine meeting in a little back alley restaurant in Beijing. Listen to what they have to say about persecution and the joy they've known when they've suffered for Jesus Christ.
In recent years, there's a revival. The Holy Spirit has been working everywhere in China. We know that people will perish with our vision. But the Bible gives us a vision that guides us. The Bible tells us to go to the end of the earth to preach the gospel. We've experienced persecution, poverty, and great suffering. A lot of persecution. It is only through God's protection that I can tell you this. Just like the Bible says, that if anybody wants to follow me, you have to carry your own cross. The situation is more tense now than before, but we believe in God's protection. If God does not permit something, it will not happen. If He permits it, He will give us strength to face it. We give everything to God. The main lessons I learned in prison is that God is always with me. At that time, whenever I pray, God listened. It is the closest I ever felt with the Lord. It was like the private room with Jesus. Although there was a lot of bitterness on the outside, in my heart there was so much joy. When the Apostle Paul was in jail, he had joy in his heart. My experience in jail was the same, because God is always with us. God is with us, what shall we fear? Although circumstances are hard, we always have peace in God. In the villages, we worship in the nighttime. On the nights, we don't worship. I copied down the words of the New Testament. I copied very carefully to give it to other people. Whatever is copied for them is recited, memorized. People really desire the Bible. There's a saying in China, some depend on cars, some depend on horses, but we depend on God's words. Wherever you go, you depend on God, and He will guide you. The Bible is God's word. As we grow, we cannot live without the Bible. It is our daily direction. And God speaks to us through the words of the Bible daily.
Did you understand what this dear man said? His time of imprisonment was an experience of joy. Now that's the theology of the cross that I was telling you about on a previous program. These Chinese Christians are privileged to share Christ's sufferings. He also spoke of copying by hand the words of the Bible because there are so few Bibles in China. Well, one very special colleague on our trip to China was Andy Anderson, who is a super talk show host on WMCA in New York City. We were privileged to be guests on Andy's show recently, and I want him to tell you now about our experiences with the police as we took Bibles into China. Now remember, his experience was our experience exactly. Here's what happened when we entered customs at the Shanghai airport. I think you'll find this interesting. Andy?
I was stopped and, as I say, about 11, 12 of the team was stopped, and it was quite interesting as we later discussed it, came to the conclusion that they fingered us in Hong Kong and watched us as we were getting off the plane in Shanghai. Two of my name tags had been removed from the bags of Bibles, and our luggage seemed to be coming off the beltway last. But we were late getting on in Hong Kong, which should have made our baggage get on last and should have been off first. However, in Shanghai, our baggage seemed to come off last, and we were then in a group, kind of out there by ourselves, naked, if you will. Suddenly, four or five special members of the PSB came out and stopped us. They asked me a question, which I ignored and kept right on going, and suddenly the guard came around in front and got right in my face and said, "Sir," and of course then I couldn't ignore it. And that was one of the instructions we were given. Try to ignore it if you can, if someone's calling you, because they're speaking to you in a foreign language and it's difficult to understand. You just keep on going. However, you know, most of us at that point felt, what a disappointment. You come halfway around the world to try to deliver God's word to a people who are desperately in need of them and desperately want them, and suddenly these Bibles are confiscated. But I feel later, as we began to develop theories about this, I think the Lord, in each of our minds, explained to us that this is for your benefit, and you need to know the fear that these Chinese Christians are living under. Mm-hmm. And we did, because they followed us. They were like shadows. All over, wherever we went in China, we had Public Safety Bureau people following us. And the only way we eluded them was one morning when we were going to make a trip to the Great Wall. The previous evening, each of us gave a wake-up call for 7 o'clock. And instead, each of us had alarm clocks. We set them for 4 o'clock, and we were up and out of the building, out of the hotel, by 5 o'clock, and there was no one around. Mm. And we met our driver and the bus in the next block at another hotel. And that was the only way we were able to elude them and meet with three Chinese Christians who are at the very tip-top of the distribution level in China. And at the wall, we waited until they felt comfortable to approach us in the bus. We just sat in the bus waiting, and we waited a good hour until they finally felt comfortable that there was no one around, no one was watching us. They came into the bus, and they drove partway back to Beijing with us and shared their story. None of us called home for fear that our telephone numbers would be recorded and be part of the Public Safety Bureau record against Americans who were trying to, you know, smuggle in Bibles. But at a meeting in one of the hotel rooms, we took the telephones and put them in dresser drawers and under pillows so that, you know, whatever we were saying would be muffled. We would go down in the morning in the hotel for breakfast, and there would be two police officers there dressed in civilian clothes, but we knew who they were, watching us, and we would get ready to leave, and they would follow us. And it was kind of eerie, knowing that you're in a foreign country, you're there at their invitation, so to speak, and you could be arrested, you could be put in prison, you could be detained for a long period of time, and your lifeline back to the United States has literally been cut once you, you know, set foot on foreign soil. And that disturbed me a great deal, because I knew of situations where other Christians, foreigners, Westerners, had been detained for 5 and 6 weeks, and Chinese Christians imprisoned for their faith. So it was not outside the realm of possibility that they could scoop us up if they wanted to. What impresses me more than anything is how much the communists fear the Word of God. And that is the only reason they are stopping these Bibles from going through. But that should not stop us as Americans. We have the wherewithal to send Bibles into China. And that should ingrain in our minds even more so the fact that we have got to help our Chinese brethren and pull out all the stops to get the Bibles to them.
You know, God is renewing His church today, and the power that we're seeing in the Chinese church is touching our lives and churches as well. Back here at home, where we worship freely and persecution is not a daily occurrence, we should display a faith which proclaims that Christ rules in our hearts. My friend, I want to take this opportunity to wish you a blessed Christmas season and a joy-filled new year. This is a very special time, and I want you to be enriched in faith throughout these days. Now, we're reminded at this time of year, however, that the history of Christianity since that first advent 2,000 years ago has at times been the history of missed opportunities. Here's a tragic example of that. Are you ready for a quick history lesson? Well, between the years 1271 and 1275, the famed Italian Marco Polo traveled with his father and his uncle from the city of Acre in what is now Israel, across the Middle East and Central Asia, all the way to China. In China, they were privileged to meet with the great Mongol leader and warrior, Kublai Khan. In the course of the Polo's conversations with Kublai Khan, the emperor expressed his interest in learning more about the Christian religion, thinking that perhaps it would be beneficial to promote acceptance of Christianity throughout his empire. Kublai Khan's request was quite simple. He asked the Polos to go back to Pope Gregory X on their return to Rome and to ask the pontiff to send a team of Christian scholars from Rome to China to instruct him and other leaders of China in the principles of the Christian faith. The emperor's desire was clear. With his newly acquired understanding of Jesus Christ, he would proclaim the Christian gospel as the official religion of his empire. All he needed was to be persuaded that Christianity was true. His mind and his heart were open and receptive to accept the arguments of the papal scholars from Rome. Well, the Polos did return to Rome, and they did meet with Pope Gregory, and they conveyed the request of Kublai Khan to the Roman pontiff. But guess what happened? Nothing. Pope Gregory's mind was consumed with local issues of church administration, and he set the emperor's request aside. No Christian scholars or missionaries were sent to China, and one of the greatest Christian outreach opportunities in history was missed as a result. How tragic. My friend, there exists today in China perhaps the greatest evangelistic opportunity in all of world history. The Chinese church, which was relatively dormant for centuries and targeted for total eradication by communist despot Mao Zedong in the middle of the 20th century, was stuck at a minuscule membership of 900,000 in 1949. The communists closed and destroyed all the churches. They imprisoned pastors. They deported the missionaries. They confiscated and burned all the Bibles and Christian literature that they could find. The communist revolution, they believed, could destroy the cult of mythical foolishness called Christianity. At least that's what they thought. But today, the Christian movement in China consists of more than 100 million believers and continues to grow at a rate of 20,000 to 30,000 conversions a day. It's the greatest growth movement in the 2,000-year history of Christianity. So, where is this amazing church growth movement headed? What will the ultimate result be of this present-day explosion of Christianity inside of China? Now listen, my friend, the outcome of this unprecedented opportunity in China will depend in large part on what we do in providing Bibles to the persecuted house churches throughout that great nation. Bibles are needed to develop spiritual maturity in the tens of thousands of converts accepting Christ each day. Bibles are needed to provide comfort and courage to the many who suffer persecution because of their faith. Bibles are needed to fight against the onslaught of heresies and to establish sound doctrine. Bibles are needed to fuel the missionary movement that is spreading to the Muslim countries of Central Asia and the Middle East. Yet in the rural areas of China, where most of the Christians live, only one in every 2,000 believers has access to a Bible. And this is why I'm urging you today to seriously consider this personal invitation. Join with me and with thousands of others in prayerfully giving to Compassion Radio's annual year-end Operation God's Word campaign of providing Bibles to the house church Christians of China. As that church begins to grow, we need to provide Bibles to keep up with that growth. The key to the success of this campaign is for everybody who is listening to me right now to send something, to send the best gift, large or small, that you can send. 100% participation is what we're praying for. I wonder, will you help us achieve that? And my friend, keep this in mind. For every Bible given to a Chinese believer, it's estimated that at least 5 converts will be won to faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, don't miss this opportunity.
And the gift goes on.
The gift of as little as $6 can provide a brand new copy of God's Word to someone who really, truly wants one. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $600 provides 100 brand new Bibles. As our thank you for your gift of $25 or more, and at your request, we'd love to send you a beautiful handcrafted olive wood ornament made by young believers in Bethlehem. These beautifully crafted items are sure to be a wonderful heirloom. The toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can reach us on the internet, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. We wish you the very best this Christmas season. And we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.